You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
I'm Fred Joyle, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're growing a dental practice, one of the things that you know is you have to start communicating in a better way with these patients and new patients that are coming to you. And one of the things that you're not even paying attention to are two fundamental shifts in the way patients are looking and thinking about dentistry, and you don't even know what they are. And so today I've got an incredible expert, Fred Joyle, on who's going to light the way for this. And I'll just tell you guys, I was talking to him before we went live, and I was like, my brain hurts because this is so spot on. You do not want to miss this. So grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching it, if you're contemplating thing, or if you even want to debate, add the question to the feed and I'll pass it to Fred while we have him on, and we'll ask the master himself. Or if you're watching these later on, continue to add questions to the feed. You're going to see Fred's really good at this. We want you to get the most out of this while you're watching these shows. Continue to send us suggestions for shows and everything. I got a few more today. We're going to do our best to line all these up. Guys, we are now up over 39,700 followers on Facebook. I don't even know how that's happening. And over 150,000 of you are listening to it, have hit us on iTunes. And I don't have anything to say other than thank you. So grateful. Now, my guest today, Fred Joyle. Now, if you've been sleeping under a rock, you haven't heard this guy's name. So I got, Fred, I'm just going to say my part of your story, and I got to know Fred because when I got started in this business, people were like, you got to read this book, you got to read this book. And I say this to young dentists all the time, Fred's book is non-negotiable. You have to read it. It's one of the best books that's ever been written about dentistry. It's called Everything is Marketing. He also has another book called Remarkable, which we'll talk about, but his book and Pete Dawson's book on restorative dentistry, if you're a dentist, you got to read those two books before you even get started, and you'll find it is amazing. Now, Fred, you've run a whole bunch of companies, and you're a great influencer, great friend I get to see on the road all the time at these big meetings. We have a lot of dental students that are watching now, younger dentists. If somebody doesn't know who Fred Joyle is, tell us who Fred Joyle is.
Well, back in 86, when dentists were first starting to advertise, I started a company called 1-800-DENTIST. Now, for the young millennials, that's a phone number, okay? what we did is we advertised primarily on television for decades, telling people that they need to take care of their teeth, and if they don't have a dentist, we are the best way to find one that's going to give them the care they need, be nearby, maybe take their insurance. And so we've been involved. We've sent 8 million people to the dentist over this time. We've spent $500 million in advertising promoting dentistry. We are the single biggest promoter of this service. Now, fortunately, there are other voices coming up, but they're very specific, like Invisalign and things like that are advertising somewhat. and alerting people, but it's about specific procedures. What we did by running a live call center is we learned what the consumer was thinking, what they were looking for, what mattered to them, what their fears and apprehensions and confusions were. And that's a lot. When you talk about my book, that's what we learned, is like, how do you take them from avoiding the dentist to treasuring a dentist? Because that's where they should be. And we know that. And we have, you guys have patients that are like that. So my life has been about helping doctors to find patients and create that patient experience that turns them into a long-term patient that accepts treatment. Because that's a real patient, because that's where you're going to make the difference, is when they actually trust you enough to accept treatment.
Yeah. And Fred, so, I quote your stuff all the time. I'm just going to piggyback on this. If you guys have ever been to a lecture, I always say one very important thing in the lecture, and I got this from this guy right here. He said, you have to believe that money spent in your office is some of the best money people could ever spend. And you can see every dentist go, that is spot on. And you helped me see that in those writings. And then you support it all. So it wasn't just a statement. Like, it's critically important. This is not about insurance. This is not about flooded with new patients. This is getting your mindset right about how to build a great business in dentistry.
Well, let's go right in and attack that belief. Because they say, oh, it's pain. Oh, it's money. Oh, it's inconvenience. I can tell you things that they've spent money on. They'll spend, you know, $10,000 on chrome wheels. They'll spend $20,000 on getting full body tattoos. And let me tell you, that hurts way more than you could ever come out. If you did dentistry without anesthesia and did a full set of implants, maybe you could come up with that much pain. Okay. Right. But, and they're paying for it. They're lining up for it. Okay. So it's not about pain. It's not about cost. It's about value. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they pay to participate in these Tough Mudder events, okay, where they basically are paying to have one of the most uncomfortable experiences of their life. And the net result is maybe a broken arm and a little merit badge for third place, okay?
I get it.
Yeah. Pain, discomfort, cost, BS, okay? Yeah. It's about value.
Yep.
They get value out of those things. And all we have to do, and that's why the whole point of dentistry is a great investment, is that they undervalue dentistry radically relative to all the other stuff that they spend or blow money on. And that's what we have to help them with.
Yeah. And when we talk about creating value, Fred, I love how you think. And you said, Kirk, you know, there's two things that have fundamentally changed with patients, and dentists are, they don't even know what they are. Now, before we reveal what they are, let's talk about why these two things are so important. So why is this such an important topic at this point today, right now?
Well, and then, you know, I just came from a futuristic event called Singularity Global Summit up in San Francisco. And it was talking about the convergence of nanotechnology, robotics, genetics, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing. And those things are not just separate things that are happening. They're interacting with each other, and they are changing the whole world. And what's happening is, we mentioned this before, but one of the speakers said something rather profound. And he said, this time right now in your life is the point of the slowest change that you will experience in your life. So everything from here forward will be faster. And so if you're uncomfortable now, you better strap in, because it's all accelerating, because all of their, you know, for example, just a random example, they took humans. This is like a Paul Bunyan story almost. They took humans and AI, and they examined legal contracts, and the humans found 88% of the mistakes in the legal contracts, and the AI found around 90. Okay, so almost the same. The difference took the human 90 minutes to go over a contract, took AI 22 seconds.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, you and I were talking again before we went live. You mentioned the cancellation in six arms. Listen to this, guys. So in the future, this will happen. When you have a cancellation, you will now have six arms. Explain.
That's a perfect lead-in. Okay, so they are developing the ability to wire into our neurons, and our body controls everything by intention. When I move my arm, I'm not going, arm move, straighten elbow, fingers wiggle, okay? My intention in my brain says to do it. When you drive a car, you don't go, oh, I need to hit the brakes and push down at a medium level to slow down. Somebody in front of me is going to stop. You just do it. You have the intention to do it. Your body does it. That car is a robotic extension of your intention out of your brain. So once we're wired into that, which they're developing artificial neurons that wire into our regular neurons, we will be able to control other devices. So whether they're attached to us or not. So you'll be able to, let's say you've got a no-show and you've got an hour to spare. Now you're going to go into your office, climb into your haptic robotic suit, which controls a robot dentist in Appalachia, so where you can treat the underserved there where they can't afford to have a dentist and the dentist doesn't really want to live there most of the time. But they go into the office. Now you can see the patient, treat the patient, control it. But the robot doesn't have two hands. That would be inefficient. He has six arms. So he's got two assistants working with him. And your brain is controlling all six arms.
That makes those arms make my brain hurt. Like, I can't even fathom. But I've heard that. And Fred, I was over speaking in Switzerland, and the dentists over there are very confident that there will be a day where robotic dentistry will happen, and it'll happen faster than we anticipate. There will always be a need for a dentist. There will always be a need for a dentist there.
Sure.
No different than robotic surgeries now, but this technology, this isn't gonna slow down. We've gotta be thinking better about the future, not resisting it. And you mentioned this, you said dentistry moves last. Like, explain that.
We like to adapt absolutely last. We find the back of the line and then we go in it. Because part of the problem is dentistry is easy to make a decent living on, and you can go through a lot of patients and make a decent living. But what's happening, and we've seen this happen like it never happened before, is dentists are going out of business. We started in 2008. It's like dentists would literally walk away from their practice. They've got so underwater, they had nothing to sell. They handed over the keys and to the bank and walked away. And that had never happened. But now we're looking at all these forces working on dentistry, group practices, remote dentistry. There'll be teledentistry. There'll be all of these things affecting dentistry. Health insurance in complete and utter chaos, and dental insurance, always been the redheaded stepchild of it. But just from my experience, everybody who has dental insurance, they want a dentist to accept it now. That shift has happened, and it doesn't matter at what income level they're at. They want somebody. They've been taught somebody else is supposed to pay for this stuff, right? I'm supposed to neglect myself. That's my job, and then somebody else is supposed to fix it. So when we tell them, oh, well, I can fix up to $3,000 worth of that, they go, well, that doesn't seem like enough. Who's going to pay the rest? No. Your mama.
So let's get into this. You mentioned there's two things that have significantly changed with patients. Let's go through each one of them. What's the first one?
The first one is how patients gather information. As most of your and my life, information came at us. It came through the news. It came through the newspaper. It came through magazines. It came through television and radio. Stuff, information about stuff, about brands, about products came at us. We were passive in that process. That situation is totally reversed. The consumer is now in charge of this information, of the gathering of information, how they seek it, how deeply they go into that research, that they satisfy themselves. And they satisfy themselves through the internet, and they satisfy themselves through social media, which social media has two facets. It has the Facebook sort of side, but it has the review side. So, and they use all of that to go out and seek information. Now, what they're seeking is what's interesting to them, what's fun, what they'd like to spend money on, And because of it, it's become much harder to actually talk them into doing the stuff that's important to do, like taking care of their teeth, because they don't actively go to seek it anywhere near as much as they used to. So we have to adapt completely to those modes of information and provide it at whatever level and through whatever medium they want to be using.
Yeah. So if you're watching, just two things. Fred mentioned both of them. The first thing that's changed is how patients gather information. And the second thing that's significantly changed is they're in charge. Now, I want you to go back to this because you mentioned this. They satisfy themselves by seeking that information, but they also have an insatiable appetite, which those two things don't work together. So explain that, you know?
Well, their appetite for information and their ability to drill down. This is why education is going to change completely, is because you can follow your interest as deeply as you want to. And this is before AI comes into everything. Okay. Right. This is before we're tapped into all, we're going to have 7 billion people with smartphones on this planet who can access all the information in the world. So that's going to change. And their perception of, first of all, technological change. So if you're not adapting technology in your practice, they're wondering why, first of all, because they're going like, well, listen, I'm on my 10th iPhone and you're still on this ancient digital non-digital X-ray machine, this beige thing with the antique plates on it. And you're telling me it's fine. And I'm supposed to look at a screen size this big and you go, well, look at that lesion. It's like, is that me? They're looking for technology and they're looking for information that is in some ways is unbiased, or they want to read through the biases. They want to read through the reviews and find the information, and they want to find out about the experience of being a patient.
Right. Now go back to that too, because I'm noticing that even on when I look on Amazon and I'm looking at reviews, I'm thinking that's a BS review. That's just too plain. I'm looking for someone specific who might be a little angry. And then I'm going to determine myself if that's a valid point for me. You know, I'm taking in consideration. I don't even look at anything that's 3 stars anymore. I go right past it and skip over anything they would say. Do you know what I mean? So tell us about how even reviews are changing in that respect.
Well, because there's so many sites and there's so many reviews, what people do now, for example, they'll do a Google search. They'll see a site that they want, like it's a dentist website. They'll see 3-star reviews. That's the average. Gone, moving on. Okay. They'll see 5-star reviews, 2 reviews, and they'll go, moving on. Okay. So because they know your best friend and your dad wrote those reviews, right? they move on. They see 4.5 stars or 4 stars, 50 reviews. Now they're going to go, I want to go. They'll either go directly to the site, not read any reviews, or they'll do what you did. They'll start to go and read the reviews and say, what is a relevant response to me? Because everybody's got somebody who loves them and hates them. Okay. Those are interesting to read. And why does the guy hate you? Okay. Guy hates everybody. The guy hates paying for anything. Okay. So I can discard that information. But we have become highly skilled at scanning and reading and assessing the importance of that review to us.
Right. Now package this for me. So Fred, I get these questions. So let's say I'm a 32-year-old dentist, Fred, and I'm watching this. I'm like, Fred, this is so heavy. Like, I'm just trying to do dentistry. What can I do? Like, and there's a good chance I'm going to be practicing for 4 more decades, because don't you agree? The dentists that are working now, they're going to be working longer than their predecessors. Would you agree with advancements in technology and prescription medication? I mean, people are just going to be working longer. We're already seeing that in this generation compared to the last generation. So I got to prepare myself for 4 decades of practice. Fred, what do I do?
Well, get excited, because all your patients are going to live comfortably past 100. I mean, you'll meet more and more dentists who are doing implants on people in their 90s because they plan on living 10 more years, and all they're doing is eating, right? They're like, they're on a cruise ship eating 7 times a day. So, like, they want some choppers. But the average child born today is going to live comfortably to 150, okay? and be drinking Red Bull and Coke and all this, and those things will still be there. So we'll be doing like 16 rounds of implants on these people. So it's going to be, there's nothing but opportunity for us. But you know, and who the heck wants to retire anyway? I mean, it's like, it's going to be too much fun. You're going to, I plan on looking like this for the next 100 years. Okay. Or better. I'm going to be 3D printing any organ I need once it wears out, you know,
yeah.
Until I can transfer my consciousness into a 22 year old clone guy. He won't know I'm coming, but I'm going to kick him out and take over his body. But, that's the world they have to prepare for. And so they have to understand building that value is about building your trustworthiness, and building the value of dentistry will be the cast iron rock solid foundation for a long-term practice. Because if they don't trust you, they're not going to buy from you. And if they don't value dentistry, they're not going to accept treatment, even if they trust you.
Yeah.
So you have to build that value with them. And the way you build it is give them the information the way they want it and give them an amazing experience being a patient, which doesn't mean clinically. That's baseline. Okay. That's a driver's license. Okay. Mm-hmm. This, and you're trying to drive a race car. Okay. So this is this, you have to, everybody has to be involved in creating a remarkable experience, which means you need a great practice culture. You need to believe the dentistry is a great investment, and everybody has to communicate that. When you believe it, you communicate it. When you believe it's actually true, you effectively communicate it.
Absolutely. Now, I always have one beef with dentistry. It's my only thing that I hate about it. It's so fear driven because everyone's so fearful. Dentists were supposed to disappear when fluoride came into the scene. You've heard this for years. But it's all fear driven. And I want, you said, embrace it and then communicate with people in the way they want to be communicated with. But preface this by the building with 3D printing. You said in the future, you got to get ready for this because there will be buildings of 3D printers that are printing things, and you can't go, oh my gosh, it's all going to die. You got to go, game on, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are 3D printers that are printing one bedroom homes. Now, for $3,000 for people. I mean, when you demonetize something to that radical a level, I mean, that has a profound impact on home ownership, for example. Where home ownership is skyrocketing on one level, if you can suddenly create a home like that, so what else can you do? What happens when the cost of energy drops, which it's coming, because solar now cost half what coal does to create a kilowatt hour. Okay. That we've been talking about this for years. Oh, it's never going to happen. Coal is dead. Okay. Nobody can save coal because China just canceled 150 coal plants because they went and India just canceled 100 because to generate electricity. They said, why would we do this? You know, when solar is more efficient, and it just gets better. The cost of solar will continue to drop, will probably drop in half again. When energy demonetizes, what else happens to the world? So, I mean, these are the things that we have to be thinking about because the world is changing. There's a great quote from a Hemingway book, and they asked this guy, how did you go bankrupt? And he said, two ways, gradually and all at once. And that's this world. The change is coming gradually, 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 and then all at once.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
My coaches, a group of our coaches just came back, and they shared what they had learned from a leadership conference. You'll love this. They go, what would have happened to Kodak if they would have changed from a film company to a company that their main proposition was to preserve memories? Do you know what I mean? Not a product, but they were thinking in advance, like the thing that we got to do is preserve memories, and we've got to be on the front end of this technology. Now, Kodak is one of the easiest examples of companies that just screwed it up when they didn't embrace the future. But there's a long list of them that are on the right. And I think you're right. Like, you know, so
look at taxi drivers. Okay. The number of taxi rides has been cut in half since the onset of Uber. 50% decrease. Okay.
What happens when the Uber drivers go away too? The drivers are going to disappear.
Well, of course. what happens when, here, I'll give you another crazy example of the future that's coming. When we have self-driving cars predominantly on the road, there will be no more fatalities on the highway. We lose 37,000 people a year to highway deaths. You know what they also are called? Organ donors. So we lose 37,000 organ donors when self-driving cars come in. So we better get really good at 3D printing hearts and lungs and eyeballs and stuff like that, because these people that we're going to be able to take the organs from aren't going to die anymore. So it's stuff like that. It's, you know, we are facing multiple disruptions in multiple areas. Car ownership may fall apart. Cars may go the way of the horse, where a horse, it's a recreational thing to own a car.
What happens to parking garages? You know what I mean?
Something like 1/5 of all the building space in LA is parking. Okay? That's just going to go away, because self-driving cars, they can bunch them all together. All right? And then tell, you know, cars 7 through 12, get out of the way, and this car comes out. Or just take the next one. They're all the same. They're all just self-driving cars. So, and they're all going to be electric, you know, so because that will be a much more efficient use of the car. But, you know, we own, you know, depends what you pay for a car. But let's say you pay $50,000 a year for a car that sits idle 97% of the time. That's an incredibly bad use of money. Okay. Just to have a shiny black token of our wealth in the garage. And millennials are already going, that's kind of dumb.
Well, let's face it. I don't want to drive anyway, because I want to do this the whole way there.
Well, the whole inside of the car is going to change. There's going to be an office. And the whole idea of offices is like, why do I need to go to the office? Why don't I have a nice office car that drives me to the beach, and I sit and I have a beautiful view, and I have all the connectivity I need, and it links like train cars up to 4 or 5 other cars, and that's our office for the day. And then we go to, you know, the Pacific Palisades tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, Fred,
you know,
my little reptile brain is hurting. It's throbbing. Okay. So package this for us. If you were to kind of sum this up and kind of give us some thought, like give me a thought process, because you know how dentists are. They want a recipe. Like give me any kind of a structure framework of how I enjoy the future based on what you've already shared with me.
Create that information. Now, you know, you said, how does a dentist adapt to this? I just want to do dentistry. Okay. So you need one of two things. You need a Facebook geek in the office. That's what I label the person who is your social media review person. She gets testimonials from people on video. She does a live broadcast every week. She's getting pictures of video. She's on Insta. She tweets that they just did something, and she's getting reviews. Okay. And it's, you know, we can get into another whole topic about when and how you do the reviews, but everybody's getting survey fatigue. And so it has to be done sometime in the process of being in the office, and in the experience. And then everybody has to be dedicated to creating a remarkable patient experience. And we talked about that. Becoming Remarkable is the title of my second book. And I call it that because it's a literal use of the word. You need to create an experience that they can't resist remarking positively about, because they are going to remark one way or the other.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. So, and those remarks are likable and shareable and searchable and undeletable. And that's huge. That totally changes word of mouth. And word of mouth is still critical.
Right.
That's really what's going to drive everything. What's going to reinforce it is all of this social stuff, because word of mouth is now half word of thumb.
Yeah. You think about this, like, here's what's like how we're putting out information. It's shaping the world and the opinions of other people. I love it. And I mention this all the time. People come up to me at in lectures, Fred, and they go, you know what's happening is that blah, blah, blah. I go, where did you get that information? They go, YouTube. I saw a YouTube video and it said that 63%, I'm like, you're citing YouTube as a reference in dentistry.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You've confused YouTube with journalism, which used to have to check three sources before the editor would let them publish. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, you can make up anything, you know, and put it online. So that's why eventually that you have to become that trusted health advisor. But think of the opportunity in dentistry. I honestly think that we are just for example, we have way more diagnostic technology right now than the average GP. Okay. Mm-hmm. What, especially a really good dentist who's got a cone beam technology. I mean, what GP has anything like that? I mean, chiropractors have X-ray machines. Most of the GPs don't even have that. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you've taken a three-dimensional image of somebody's skull, your diagnostic capability is quadruples that GP. Okay. Now imagine how much diagnostic capability there is in examining saliva and breath, and what technology will be like 10 years from now. If they have wearables and insertables that tell you what their body's doing, they're going to go to the dentist and you're going to tell them 50 things they need to keep track of and two things that have changed that are kind of serious. Okay. Whereas, I mean, you can go to a GP with bad breath and he won't even acknowledge it, even though you say, I keep getting the flu. And he's like, I don't understand it. Here, take this bucket of pills and antibiotics, even though it's a virus. And so, the fact that you're fighting infection 24 hours a day with your gum disease, it doesn't register on his or her scale of diagnostics. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, dentistry is, we're going to move to the forefront, I think, if we just decide to,
right,
of a gatekeeper healthcare provider rather than the opposite.
Yeah.
Then adjunct, maybe I should go to the dentist if my teeth start falling out.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, this is kind of a leading question because you know how I feel about it. Has there ever been a greater time to be a dentist, in your opinion?
No, it's incredibly exciting. But like everything is, if you're not paying attention, if you think you think everything's going to stay the same, you're in trouble. Yeah, because you're frog boiling yourself. You're just thinking, oh, this won't happen to my fee for service practice in my neighborhood, right? Until it happens gradually and then all at once.
Right. So embrace it. There you have it, folks. The two things that have significantly changed is patients gather information differently and they are in charge. And it's time to jump on the bandwagon and learn how to do that so that you have fun practicing dentistry. Now, Fred, I know people are going to be wanting to get more information. I'm just going to tell you, if you're watching this, two things are required. Read that first book and then read the second book, Becoming Remarkable. It's Becoming Remarkable. I want to get that right.
Yeah.
Because yep. I have a small brain, but I remember the remarkable part, and they are both fantastic books. Now, Fred, you do a lot of education. I'm going to continue to have you back, and we'll talk about different metrics. This guy is a wealth of information. You also do lectures now. You're out speaking to study clubs and at major meetings. If I want to get you to my study club or if I want you speaking to me, how do I get a hold of you? And keep in mind, people are listening on this on iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, the FredJoyle.com is my speaker site. And, you know, I
J-O-Y-A-L.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Rhymes with Joyle, spelled like royal. Rhymes with royal, spelled the same way. And, you know, you can also get access to my books there. You can find them and buy them. That's the best way to buy the hardcovers is on my site because it's cheaper and faster. Amazon is too slow. If you are a digital reader, go on Amazon, and it's also, they're both on Audible as well. If you read with your ears.
Yeah.
So, and there's contact information. If you want me to come speak, I love speaking. You know, a lot of specialists are really smart and they bring me in and other speakers like you that have all talked to all their referring doctors and they bring their teams in and bring, you know, 200-400 people in. And we help them to be more successful so that they refer more to the specialist. And so that's a prime marketplace for my kind of information, because I'm going to change how they see dentistry. And what's going to happen is they're not going to feel like, oh, I need to do all the root canals myself. And I need to do all the ortho. I'm going to buy brackets and do all the ortho myself and stuff like that. They're like, I'm busy doing the dentistry I'm good at. I'm going to out, you know, as soon as this implant case becomes challenging, I'm going right to the perio or the oral surgeon to let her handle it. That's what you want. And that's what we help them to do. It's like, focus on being that gatekeeper and doing great dentistry for them. Technology is going to help you to do more and do it better and do it faster. And hey, maybe do it cheaper.
Absolutely.
If you do more dentists, hey, if you can, I watched a guy last year at Dentsply Sirona World. He did an extraction and full implant restoration, you know, putting in the titanium and putting the crown on in 45 minutes. You don't have to charge $6,000 for that, okay, to restore a single tooth. And what happens when you demonetize that down to a level? How many missing teeth are out there? If you started to do them in 45 minutes for $800, $900 and the patient's done, first of all, people don't even know that's possible. They've heard of implants. Oh, yeah, you get surgery, you wait 6 months, you eat baby food, and then they come in and finish it, okay? Like, well, no, not exactly. You know, so this is the information thing. We got to give them the information that they need to understand how valuable dentistry is.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a great investment it is.
It is awesome. Now, Fred, you also have, if you're watching this, you can already see how he challenges the way you think. Do you still have the Go Ask Fred thing? I love that. Like, are you encouraging questions?
The easiest way is actually there's now going to be a blog site on fredjoyle.com.
Okay,
that will continue from Go Ask Fred. Go Ask Fred there with a lot of content, and those questions will always come to me. But start looking at fredjoyle.com as a way to just fire off questions at me, and as well as say, I'd love to have you come speak, or can you be on my podcast? Nobody's got a podcast like you, of course, Kurt.
But, buddy, you're the best. Regardless, I'm not the smartest guy. I just enjoy every minute. Fred, everything that you give me, it always makes me think. I use so many of your thought processes. They are just great. And if you're watching, I couldn't encourage you more. Check his stuff out. Check his website out. Also read his books. Fred, you're an incredible asset to this amazing profession. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for watching. Really appreciate all of you guys tuning in. A lot of you tuning in already today. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just hit the share button. Share with all your friends. Protect this incredible profession called dentistry. Keep sending us suggestions for shows. Give us some tough topics for Fred, because you're going to see he's got the answers. This is amazing.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Bring the tough ones, and I'll see if we can get Fred to sweat, even though I don't think he sweats at all. And we'll keep having him back. Fred, I'm going to have you back because there's so many other topics I want to cover. And to all of you, until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.